the time that we had to do the dedication. I would like to bring the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Can you shout a big amen for me?
Amen.
Amen. Last week we started on a topic that I called a believer's staying power. A believer's staying power. Praise the Lord. And I just want to continue. I hope we'll be able to finish from where we started or from where we left. But I just want to bring to speed so that I can refresh or some of you. I know you are not here, but you can always get a tip. But we'll be able to go through what we started here last week. The Lord has been good. Has the Lord been good to you throughout the week? Amen. It is good to see all of you. It is good to see some of you that I've not seen in quite a bit. And I believe that the Lord is ministering to us, that the Lord is giving us favor, and we've continued to enjoy his favor. Now, a believer's staying power. We started by, I know that is a little bit, it could be confusing if you just hear it the first time. But what is a believer's staying power? We brought an analogy last week about some of us, you know, back in Kenya, we didn't have no electricity, or you had to go into the shop to buy some batteries. You never walked into a department store. Actually, we never used to have a department store. We used to call it a shop. So you'd go. You never walked into a shop to buy any kind of batteries, but you'd buy some choice kinds of batteries. And I remember that we had some batteries that we used to call Everready. How many of you remember Everready batteries? You know, when you'd go to the shop, what kind of batteries, by the way, did we have? We had Everready, we had what?
National.
Huh? National? Were those batteries? Oh, National. What else do we have? Huh? Tiger. Oh, my goodness. You didn't have electricity in your home. Okay, what else did we have? Okay, looks like we had a... Pastor, what kind of batteries did you buy? Those, you know, remember those cells we used to call like cells? Yuka. Okay, they had some Yukas in Zambia. Triple A, not Triple A. There are kinds of batteries. If you'd go to a shop, you'd buy Everready. Praise the Lord. And the reason why you'd buy Everready is because, you know, once you put it in your spotlight, it will take longer, or it will stay longer than other batteries, than the National or Yuka or Tiger. You know, and so every time you'd go to a shop, they costed a little bit more too, you know. And once you'd put them in your spotlight, or if you put them in your radio, you'd listen to your radio for several months, okay? And why was it? It's because of the way they were made, or the way they structured them, the way they manufactured them. It was probably different from the way they made the other batteries. And so this is what we talked about. You could say that the Everready batteries had a more staying power. Right? So you understand, you know, from that point of view, you understand what I'm talking about. The staying power in a believer. We asked, actually, as we were concluding last time, we were asking ourselves, can the staying power of a believer be measurable? Is it measurable? Can we quantify the staying power in a believer? Praise the Lord. And we're going to pick up from there, but just before we do that, I'd like us to maybe go ahead and just tell you the things that we shared. Now, in order for us to consider the staying power in a believer, there are several things that we need to learn, or we need to be aware of. Number one, we must come to familiarize with what the scripture says in the book of John, chapter number 28. And this is what the Bible says. This is about the disciples of Jesus Christ as he had fed the 5,000, the multitude. And the disciples of Jesus come to him, and they're actually mesmerized by what Jesus Christ did, because he fed so many people out of very little. And so they saw what they saw in Jesus. They wondered, are we able to do as Jesus has been able to do? Or are we able to perform a miracle as we just witnessed? And they come to the Lord and they're asking him, okay, Lord, I think you need to enlighten us on what we need to understand about doing the work of the Lord. And they ask him, what must we do to do the works of the Master? What must we do in order to do the work of the Lord? Amen? And in John chapter number 6, verse number 28, Jesus replies to them, and he said, and this is what the scripture says actually, therefore they said to him, what shall we do so that we may work the work of God? And in verse number 29, Jesus replies to them and he answers them. And he tells them, this is the work of God, that you may believe in him whom he has sent. That you may believe in him whom he has sent. And we went a little bit deeper in expounding what that portion of the scripture meant when Jesus said that this is the work of God, that you may believe in him who he has sent. In other words, it looks like when we read that scripture, like if this would be just like something that would take place in a day and then would qualify to have just done the work of the Lord. But this is not the case. When you believe in something, you have to activate something else within you. Like, for example, when you believe in working hard or when you believe in living well, you don't just believe in living nicely in your home. You have to do something in order for you to arrive to the place in which you believe in. Praise the Lord. If you believe in attaining a high level of education, it will never come to you by osmosis, but you have to go to school because you believe that for you to attain a higher level of education, that you have to go through the process. Praise the Lord. So when you believe in God, a process has to be involved. There are certain things that are required of us from the Lord so that we can accomplish the things that he has given us or he has assigned for each one of us. And we also found out that each and every body in the church has an assignment. Somebody say amen. Each and every one of us has a gift. Each and every one of us has something that has been assigned for them to do and accomplish in the body of Jesus Christ. And we went into the book of 2 Corinthians and we found out how a body has so many organs, and each and every organ has a special function that it does in order for the fulfillment or for the well-being of the entire body. We found out that the body has a hand, it has you have an eye, you have a nose, you have, various organs. And each and every organ in your body has a designated function, and it does that function without complaining, and it does it so well, all to the benefit of the well-being of the entire body. And so we found out also that each and every, nobody has been baptized, whether Greek, whether Gentile or whatever kind of race, or you may think that I come from Africa and I don't have whatever it takes to do the things that Americans are supposed to do in the church, or I come from a different part of the Africa, actually in the remote, in the villages, and I'm not able to activate whatever gifts that God has given me. The fact of the matter is, as long as you've been baptized in the body of Jesus Christ, you have something to do. Somebody say amen. Amen. It might be little in the eyes of other members of the body. Not, some of the functions that some of the members of the body do are very almost negligible, right? Sometimes you may look down on the functions of some of the little things, some of the things that they do. Like, for example, your toes. Really, your toes, what do they do? Your toes, I'm talking about the toes on your feet. What do they do? Yeah? But do you really have cognitive awareness, like even as you continue to function, that your toes are really helping you out? And God forbid that should your toes be removed, that's when you know quite that your toes have importance in your body. They maintain them, they hold on the ground as you walk, right? Yeah? Even when you have your shoes. Have you ever walked and you imagine, your toes are not doing nothing, You'd be walking in a funny way. But when your toes are doing their function, you walk normally, right? So in other words, nobody can really say that they don't have anything to do in the body. Every single one of us here, as long as you've been baptized in the body of Jesus Christ, you have something to do. Amen? And so the disciples are asking Jesus, what must we do in order to do the works of the Lord? And Jesus tells them simply, he tells them, when you believe in the one that he has sent, then you have done the works of the Lord. Amen? Believing is just, I don't know how I can put it. It's when you take just believing in the reality whereby you just believe and that's it, then we shall miss it. But believe has a process that will be involved. Number one, we have to realize that you cannot believe in God if we do not have faith. Amen? And he says in the book of John chapter 4, I believe verse 4:10, that a time has come that God is a spirit and he is looking for some people who will worship him in truth and in the spirit. For God is a spirit. Amen? We found out that God responds to faith. There's no way we can believe in God unless we have faith. And every single one of us, as we found out the other day, every single one of us has a measure of faith. Somebody say amen. Every single one of us has a measure of faith. And, you know, it doesn't matter. In other words, the quantity, or rather, it might be a small amount of faith. And other people would have, you know, large amount of faith. The Bible says if you only have a small faith as a mustard seed, you can speak to this mountain and you can tell it to do what? To move from where it is and it shall be. So it doesn't matter how the amount of faith that you have, as long as it is a chip off the presence of God, it is a chip off God, it doesn't matter the size of that faith. If you still have it, God will respond it. If you have activated that faith in you, when God sees it, he will respond to it. Amen? Are you listening to me? And we also found out that without faith without works is what? Is dead. In James chapter number 2, verse number 14, we went into detail and we read the whole of that chapter, you know, that portion of scripture in James 2, number 14. And, it just says, if somebody comes to you naked and you know that they need food or they need clothing and they need this and that, you know, it's not just enough to pray over them and tell them, may it be well, may you be warmed up. If it is in your position to have the supply, faith dictates that you clothe them. You give them what they need. Amen? If you do not give them what they need and yet you claim to have faith, then faith is invalidated. But faith is validated by works. Hallelujah. It is us taking the next step. It is us going into the next step. Now, listen. Jesus answers to his disciples. He says, it is believing in whom he has sent. And there's no way we can believe unless we have faith. And now we have seen that without works, faith is dead. So all these things, in other words, Jesus is telling them that, you know, believing in me is not just, you know, the concept of you believing in me. It is not an event, or it's not an occasion. It's not a time, or, you know, an allocation of time between this block and this block of time and this block of time. And then when you do that, then you have done my works. No, but Jesus is telling them that for you to believe in me, there has to be a measure of faith which I have distributed to each one of you. And faith is going to be, I'm going to respond to that faith. And we have also seen in the word that faith without works is dead. So I expect you to be doing something. Are you listening to me? So believing is expounded in the scriptures that we have seen. And believing is not just believing in the one that he has sent. We have to have a measure of faith. And we cannot just have a measure of faith without works. We have to validate the faith that we have. And the way we can validate that is to accompany it. Accompany that faith by works. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. And it was a blessing when we read that scripture. You can go read it at home. We don't have time. James chapter number 2, verse number 14 to 26. So without faith, those are the things, you know, what we remember what we are talking about, a believer's staying power, the things that we have to be aware. And Jesus tells them, Jesus answers his disciples as we saw, you know, what must we do to do the works of the Lord? We must believe in him. We've just seen what it means to, when Jesus answered his disciples and he told them, you must believe in me, he is telling them that you have to have faith because I will respond to that faith, and that faith will not be validated without the works. Now, number three, Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 13. The Bible talks about working our salvation in fear and trembling. But that's not what I just want to check, even though it's very, very important. But it is something about what God does in us. The Bible says, So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. This is Paul writing to the Philippians. He is telling them, work out your salvation in fear and what? And trembling. Okay, I wish I have time to explain about what it means. The working out our salvation in fear and trembling. But 13, for it is God who is at work. Can you read that with me? For it is God. Can we all say that? For it is God. Okay, say it after me. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And then in verse number 14, it says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. Let me tell you, brothers, when we know this concept, if the Holy Spirit can just lay it open in your, you know, lay it down on your heart to understand this portion of the scriptures in the book of Philippians 2:13, you will be free and you'll be free indeed. Amen. The Bible has just told us that it is God who is at work in us, both causing us both to will and to do according to his good purpose. Are you listening to me? Every single one of us, as we said, has a purpose. He has an assignment. You have a gifting. Every gifting that the Lord has given you, or the assignment that the Lord has given each one of us, is made in such a way that it is aligned in such a way that when God comes in and he is at work in you, you are able to fulfill the purpose for which God has designated for you. Have you ever felt, you know, just a desire that you want to go to the house of the Lord? In the morning you woke up and you felt, oh no, I have various choices. I feel like I need to go to work. I feel like I'm so tired throughout the week, but I feel there's something that is really pushing me. I feel like I need to go to the house of the Lord. Hello? Or you are somewhere, you're sleeping and you felt like, oh, I feel like an urge to pray. I feel like I need to call so and so. I need to find out how they are doing. I need to just call them and find encourage them. I heard that so and so went through a certain tragedy, and I feel like I'm the person who is supposed to stand in the gap. Did you ever feel like that sometimes? Let me tell you, church, it is God who orchestrated those things in your life. It is because God knows that by our strength. The Bible says that our heart is at enmity with God. If we are just by ourselves within our own power and within the limits of what we are able to do, if we are entrusted to love God, we will never do anything. We will never accomplish any work for the Lord. But God is at work in the heart of every believer. Somebody say amen. God is at work in the heart of every believer. But listen, God is ready to do some work, but he is waiting to see the activated faith in us so that he can respond to that faith. God will never start any work in you. You know, like for example, I can come to you right now, you know, and I'll be willing to come and minister to you. You know, I'll be willing, maybe, you know, you might be having a need and I have the ability, you know, to meet that need. You know, there's a way he can give me access, and there's a way he can deny me access. For example, I can come, brother so-and-so, how are you? He may respond to answer. He may respond not to answer. He might say, oh, I feel like, you know, the Lord is telling me that I need to bless you with $20. And you know what? He can outright tell me, who told you that I needed $20? Now, let me tell you, would I force myself to give him the $20? Even though I am willing to be a blessing to him, but because he has put a wall so that he may not really get my help, is he going to get any help? But you see, I am willing. This is how God is. God is really is waiting on us. God is waiting on every believer. He is knocking. That's why he's knocking at some crevices at the corner of our hearts. And he's telling me, oh, Ben, I really need to come in this area. If only you can allow me. If only I can see that faith activated in you, I will respond to it and I'll begin some work in you. But when he doesn't see any faith in us, and that's why the Bible says, Jesus asked, when I come into the world, will I find any faith on earth? You remember him saying that? Do you remember him saying that? No, do you remember? Guys, can you talk back to me so that I can feel encouraged? I'm really not going to keep you stayed here, okay? Can you see what I'm trying to say? There's a way we can put an impedance, a wall, so that God is really, and he's waiting. And it's like he's, oh my God, I'm really looking forward to help Brother Francis. I wish he can just surrender this area. And I wish, you know, there's no way I cannot just bulldoze myself because I'm organized and I'm a God of order. But this area, I wish he knows what I can do. I wish he can just get the revelation. And the Lord actually might be speaking to you in other ways. But the devil also, you know, on the other hand, is trying to bring doubt into your life. It might be through the word of the Lord that the Lord is trying to see into your spirit. But if you are not very careful, then the enemy tries his just at hand to come and rob that word, which is supposed to knock down some things in our lives so that God can be at work. Because when God is at work in our lives, my God. You know, let me tell you, when I read this, I felt just a liberating force in my life. And no wonder, you know, remember King Jehoshaphat? You remember King Jehoshaphat? When he was being attacked, by some enemies, you know, he was worried and he went before the Lord to seek the Lord concerning what he should do. And he organized a team of singers. They went out before him. And when they went before him, the Lord spoke to King Jehoshaphat and he told him, this battle is not going to be your battle. Stand still and see the salvation of God. Amen. Because God knew that his ability and his strength would be limited. And he told him, if only you can let me, if only you can allow me demonstrate my power. God is willing to demonstrate his power in us so that when he does something, you will definitely know that he is the one who did it. There are some things that we struggle with. Every single one of us has something, including this man who is speaking to you. If you dissect me, you will see some things that you would wonder, ooh, pastor. God help you. That's what you can say. May the Lord help you in this area. Every single one of us has something that haunts you. And every time you wonder and you're praying every single day, when I feel like this is a thorn in my flesh, even Paul himself, he said, the things that I want to do, I keep doing, and I feel I won't do the things that I want to do because every time I find myself doing the things that I'm not supposed to do. We are like that, church. Come on, truth be told. Sometimes we want to come to church and put that holy face and we want to pretend that everything is going okay and everything is just dry. You know, man, I'm on the driving seat and everything. There's no traffic on your way. And, you know, every light is becoming green, you know. But let truth be told. There are some things, you know, you're going and you wonder. You're trying to step on gas and it's like you're stepping on the brakes. And the wheels are turning and they are turning and they are smoking. And every time you try to go ahead, there is a red light. But then we come to church and everybody's smiling and everybody seems like everything is going good. But the Lord was telling me, if we can let him even in the crevices, you know, there are some core areas in our lives. And this man including who is speaking to you sometimes also he is in that section. There are some areas that you have written in your heart, no entry. And you know what that no entry includes? The one who created it. When God comes and he finds in some crevices of your heart, he says, no entry. Do you think, God, let me tell you, God is so gentle. He will never bulldoze his ways into us. Amen? And he has set his word above his name. That's what the Bible says. So when he says that I will respond to faith, I want to see that faith, that mountain moving faith. It doesn't matter how small it is. It doesn't matter how big it is. When I see it, I am attracted to it. It is like a magnet and I'm attracted to it. And the moment I am attracted to it, I will begin walking that believer's life. No wonder you find somebody who has never gone to school. When they have given their lives to the Lord, God can use them extraordinarily. And you wonder, that must be God. There's no way it can be their own intelligence. You saw the man who was preaching to us the other day here? Pastor Nyongesa? That man told me that he had gone up to Standard 7 and he never passed his exam. Yet God uses him in extraordinary ways with the revelation. That guy, I can hear some of you saying, wow. I told I think one of us here, that guy never graduated even in Standard 7. Yet when he's sick, he holds the word of the Lord. He is speaking with authority and with revelation. Amen? And that tells me that in the book of Ecclesiastes, the Bible says that opportunity is available to anybody. It is not, you know, chances or opportunities are not for the strong. If opportunities and chances will be for the strong, what would happen to the weak people? What happened to the unintelligent? What happened to the people who are poor? But God has opened up his world and he says, come unto me as you are. It is not where you know, not your geographical location. It is not who you are. It is not who your parents were. If only you would surrender your lives and give your heart to me, I can do wondrous work and will. When men show, I will show myself up and I will show myself off because you're my child. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you have come from. It doesn't matter what people say you are. It doesn't even matter what the kind of job you do. If only we can surrender ourselves unto the Lord. If we can give him a, you know, hallelujah. If when he comes into those crevices, you know, those not that do not, you know, there are some areas in our lives. We used to say in our Greek language, on a, what did they used to say? You know, that one of this one, you cannot touch. Some areas that are no go. Let me tell you, even so, nobody has ever accessed those areas. But God is telling us to surrender. Because the moment you surrender your heart, the moment you surrender those areas of your life, you know what happened? It opens up the door and faith rushes in. And when God sees the faith, he says, this is the thing, the type of thing that I respond to. I want to begin some work in your life. When people look at you, they will be in awe because of what I'm doing in you. And suddenly, you have not even been having that desire because that desire has been suppressed by the enemy. You've been having that desire to go to pray. You've been having that desire to go read the word of the Lord, and every time you want to take a step, it's like you're mark timing in a syndrome of mark timing in a kind of a treadmills mentality whereby you seem like you're doing work but you're just sweating but you're not going anywhere. But when God has a full access in your life, you begin to progress. We will begin to progress. Somebody say a big amen. We'll begin to progress when he begins some work. And he will be like King Jehoshaphat when he said, this battle that you are in, I want you to stand still and watch and see the salvation that I'm bringing to you. Amen? He is the one that has worked. You know what? All I have to do, ma'am, is just surrender. That is the greatest thing that the Lord has given you, church, to surrender. Because he says, I am at work in your life to cause you to desire. God causes you to desire so that you can work for, oh Jesus. When you know that, you know what? Let me tell you, I'm no longer, even when you don't come to church, I used to really worry, okay, what is happening to this person? But you know what? Now what I'm worried about so much is when the word of God gets into your heart and into every corner and you're set free, I know the rest is taken care of. Amen? I'll not even be worried about, okay, now this person, what is happening with their spiritual life? What is happening with their spiritual affairs? What I'm praying for right now is for the Lord, the word of the Lord to be seared into our lives. Because God is the one who is at work in you to cause you to will and to do. Are you listening to me? Yes. And my work is just to surrender. Lord, I'm surrendered. Lord, I ask you for a few forgiveness. Do whatever you want to do in my life. I am giving my life to you, God. Oh, yes, Lord, I feel like I want to go to the house of prayer. You know what? It's not a struggle. And I'll come and kneel down in the morning. Let me tell you, when God takes over in your life, it will not be a struggle to come in the church in the morning. Are you listening to me? And by the way, I'm not stepping on any toes. Amen? You know why I know you can make it? Because you go to work on time. You've never been late. Actually, you've been an employee of the month. Remember they gave you a certificate? Because you've never, there's no tardiness. The record, so on time, actually, you got there 7:05 when you're supposed to get out there on 7:10. You know, you're supposed to get there 8 o'clock. You got there 7:50, 7:55, you know, sometimes even 7:30. But here, 11:30, you know, 12. When God removes the tardiness, you'd have been given a dismissal certificate long time ago. But you know, the problem is not coming here. That's not the problem. When the word of God, when God has the full work and access in our lives, church, you don't have even to struggle. Because he says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Amen? When the devil is there to pick up and to steal that which, the essence that God is instilling in us, he will find guards ready to attack him and take off. Hiya, are you listening to me? It is him who is doing the work in us. Church, can we allow him to do the work? Can we surrender our lives so that he can allow him in those crevices in our lives so that he can come and do the work? The staying power of a believer. The staying power would depend on us to know that he is the one who is at work both to do and to will according to his purpose. The enemy would never want you to fulfill his purpose, your purpose. And you know what? When a part of the body fails to do its function in a body, what happens? What do you declare that body? Dysfunction, right? Right? Yeah? You're sick, right? When your nose is blocked up, you know how many of you have called in because your nose is blocked up? I can't breathe here. Yeah. And you're calling the boss. And actually, you even make it worse. Oh, boss, you know, I can't come in. It's stuffed up. He's only hearing stuffed up. Stuffed up, you know. Can't come to work. Oh, it's okay, it's okay. Just stay, you know, just feel better. When you feel better, come in. You know? Hello? That's what happens. When God has called you to come and encourage me and you failed your responsibility, the whole function, I would need that encouragement to do my purpose, right? No responsibility, no job is simple in the house of the Lord. If you've been called to come and cook tea, after the service, I need to refresh myself. You come and make that tea, right? If you refuse, the body's going to be sick. Whatever job that you're being given, hiya, are you listening to me? If you've been called to come and maybe bless somebody here financially, give them $50. And I say, I think it's my mind just telling me. Give that $50. Give it. Give that person that $50. Give them. And the, you see, because it's God who is at work, both to will and to do. Let me tell you. You might be holding on your blessing just because you want to hold on it. If God tells you to give $50 to somebody and you have it, and you have no immediate use for it, please listen to me. This is now me telling you as your pastor, give it to that person and God will release more for you. Amen? You're just looking at the $50, but God has $1,000 for you. And he's saying, I'm waiting. I'm waiting. I'm testing you. You know, okay, the book of James, and we are quickly finishing here. Something very important. We are talking about the staying power of a Christian. God will never use or delegate his ability to anybody who is not mature. What are the ways that we can be mature in him? How can we be mature in him? One of the ways that you know very well. Having faith, yeah? Trials. Somebody say trials. Can you go in the book of James, chapter number 1? We're going to stop there. And then we're going to come to the parable of... Okay, blessed is the man who endures trials, because when he passes the test, he will... receive the crown of life that he has promised to those who love him. No, can you start from, I think it was beginning, let me read here. Just bear with me, let me, James chapter 1, anybody found it? Oh, I found it, thank you, Jesus. Now listen here. Blessed is... James, a bond servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Verse number 2. My brethren, he's addressing to us as well. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various. Is that really biblical? How can we count it joy when we are going through trials? Does it really make sense? I'm speaking to you guys. Is it making any sense? Like it is not to me. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. So are trials good or are they bad according to this scripture? Huh? They're good, right? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith. Remember, the testing that of the faith that you have, whether you have a small measure of faith, every single one of us has a measure of faith. Now listen, that faith that you have will be tested. And knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Amen? It produces the staying power. Somebody saying the staying power. Yes, knowing that the testing of your faith produces the staying power. How are you going to keep your batteries well charged up and connected to the power? Thank God for every kind of trials that you face, because the testing of your faith is like being plugged up to the power. Amen. I know somebody doesn't like that, but I'll say it anyway. Amen. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. In other words, the staying power. But let patience have its perfect work. In other words, when it produces patience, patience begins some work in us. Amen? 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 Amen. 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 You have to say it. But let the patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking anything. Amen? And lacking anything. So after your patience, I mean, your faith undergoes through testing, it produces patience. And when your patience, Lord, I'm waiting upon you. Lord, I'm waiting upon you. Lord, I'm waiting upon you. I'm not leaving this place. I'm pleased. Lord, I'm waiting upon you. It's Daniel praying. Lord, I need wisdom and I need knowledge to do what to do, to learn there. And I need the understanding, to gain the understanding of what I need to do about my family. Lord, I need the understanding. Lord, I'm going to tarry here, Lord. Even if you don't show it today, I'll be here tomorrow, Lord. I'll still wake up in the morning and kick my blankets and I'm still going to the closet. Lord, this is the third day, Lord. I'm still praying. I'm still waiting for that child of mine who is going out of the way. I'm still claiming for that child who is going out of the way, Lord. I'm calling on them back to the Lord. God, this is my sixth day. I'm still. That patience is working something in you. Amen? It's working something in you. Eventually, it says that once the work, the completion of patience, the work that it is doing in you is complete, then you'll be mature. Amen? We will not be microwave Christians whereby, you know, you're coming and need this right now. And when it doesn't happen, you know, we just lift up our hands and we are just done. We'll be people who know that the 1,000 days to the Lord is equal to one day. The fact that somebody actually said this, and I'm concluding, he said this. Did they say delays are not denials. The fact that you've been waiting on God to give you success in your education, the fact that it is not forthcoming, it doesn't mean that the Lord has denied it to you. He is waiting everything to be connected up and everything to be lined up. And when it comes to you, you will know. You look back and say, wow, it was right that the Lord never gave it me then. It was right that he gave me right now. Because he is able to see what you're not able to see. Amen? Sometimes, you know, we cry and we are thinking that God is unfair. But you know what? We are all so myopic. We are just seeing the situation, the connection of the things that we know. But God has the big picture about your life. Amen? He knows that, oh, when I bless him, when, you know, his maturity level is when I've connected all, you know, there's somebody that I've lined up in that area. I've lined up even that other thing, because this thing is going to be connected to that thing. And the other thing is going to be connected to the other thing. Everything has worked beautifully because he's my child. And God has to line up all those things for us. Amen? So when that work comes and it is at work in us, it produces maturity. That means when the Lord doesn't answer my prayer today, it doesn't mean that he has denied me. That is maturity, right? And I will not be growing out, you know, in my food, I just, you know, the Lord has not answered me. I've gone. I've never come back to this Empowerment Christian Center. You know, there are people that, we are like that sometimes. We walk out on God. You've never literally done it physically, but you've done that in your heart sometimes. I've prayed this thing. It has never come to me, and you're giving up, and you. But God, the Lord wants us to have that maturity. And now he can look at you and say, you know, I've looked and watched my child. He has waited on me in these things. I didn't even expect him to wait. I think I will put a desire for him to take care of some soul somewhere. to take care, to send him to Africa so he can deal with these people that don't have any water. And he would need a lot of patience, you know, dealing with them, because they would be wanting to kill him when they don't have the water, but he would still be waiting upon me. Are you listening to me? It takes a mature Christian to do the work of the Lord. Huh? It takes maturity to deal with the hearts of people. It takes maturity to deal with people who think that they are better and well-educated than other people, and you have to bring them at an equilibrium to show them that God still loves them. Are you listening to me? So trials will cause us eventually to be mature. And for us to have staying power, we have to be able to be men and women who persevere and go through the things, being baptized in the suffering of Christ. Sometimes we want to just endure prosperity. Oh, God, if you give $100. I listened to Pastor Julius preaching the other day about a bracadabla that goes on in church. I was not in church that day. And I thank you, Pastor Julius, for preaching that word. We don't have to be people who just respond to every kind of hula palo palo kasiki that things going. Oh, I see that sister. She has this type of hair. Hey, if you can give $100. You're giving your $100 to enrich somebody. The same Spirit of God who is speaking to them, they can speak to you and give you a witness. Amen? We have to be sensitive to what the Spirit of God is telling us. And you know what? Christianity is not about just having money. What did Paul say? I have learned. You taught us that, Pastor. I have learned. Whether you help me or not, it doesn't change how I love you. Let me tell you, church, whether I have any pay from you guys or whether you say you're going to give me, I'm still going to love you. Because I've learned. I've learned. And I have to stop. Stand on your feet. I have learned. How? You're not going to learn. Learning will have some kind of a patience in the way. You know, let me tell you, church, as you stand, some people have been given ministries here to take care of, and you've been so discouraged. You're saying, oh, these people are not even concerned. Let me tell you, I've been there before too. And I say, oh, how is it hard to take care of people? You're telling them to do things, they don't want to respond, they don't want to do things, and probably you've been given that ministry to take care of. Okay? Or God is leading you to do something in the church. Are you listening to me? We have to patiently wait upon the Lord. It doesn't happen. Let me tell you, we are waging our warfare. There's a warfare that's taking place. The devil doesn't want us to succeed, but God has given us victory, church. You have to be cognitive of that day. You're in a spiritual battlefield, and nothing nice comes just by day. Nothing just comes on a silver platter. You know, if you want a good education, you have to go work for it, right? If you want to be promoted in your career, you have to be going on to church. You have to go to work on time. You have to, you know, do the things that were supposed to be done by your organization. And they will see over time, oh, I've seen this, you know, this guy has done A, B, or C, and she is diligent. And so when there's an opportunity for you to promote it, they're going to promote you. They're not just going to promote you because you come from Africa or because you dress up so nicely. No. There are things that they are going to look into the book of records, right? If the people of the world can do those things, you think God is really, how is God going to do it? Church, by the way, I don't want you to feel like I'm really putting anybody down, but I just want to encourage you, but to do the works of the Lord, to have the staying power, it's not easy to have the staying power that you can be doing it day in, day out. Huh? This brother, God has assigned you to them, and you've been calling him. Every time you call him, he's like he's having one problem. You call him the next day, he has another problem, and God expects you to encourage him and to have a sober mind. Sometimes you can give up, right? But if God has given you the ability to call that brother, regardless of whether they want to pick up your phone or not, God is the staying power. I'm not going to let my brother go. I'm not going to let my sister go. No, I'm not going to let them go. Amen. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to stay with them. I'm going to keep on them. I'm going to keep on keeping on, just trying to pull them by my side. God, that's what God is calling us to do. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you. We are so grateful to have brought us into this house, Lord, called by your name. Thank you for your word that is full of enrichment. Father, I'm not the best teacher there is. But Father, I know one thing, that you can take my words and you can sear them into the hearts of this man and women. and that you can speak to them, Holy Spirit, in a better way than I can. But I thank you, Heavenly Father, for each one of them. Cause them to know that they are very significant. The body of Christ cannot do without them, Lord. And that, Father God, we shall not leave anybody missing in action. Father, we shall take our injured, we shall nurse them, and they shall go back into the battlefield. Father, I pray that you shall unveil your truth into every single one of us here in the name of Jesus. Lord, I come against every work of the enemy in the name of Jesus. I pray that the enemy will stay their hands away from these children of God in the name of the Lord. That everybody will be focused to serve you. Everybody will be focused to please you because you're the one who called them and baptized them into the body of Christ. Father God, line up help for each one of them, be it financially, be it in health, be it in whatever area that affects their lives. Lord, stretch forth your hand and touch them so that when you touch them, they will know that indeed you're in their lives. I give you the glory and honor. Father, there are some of us here who need to see a light at the end of the tunnel. Things have gone haywire and they are confused and they do not know how they need to go about things in their life. Father, I pray as your servant that you shall bring clarity in the name of Jesus. Remove the scales from their eyes so that they may see the mercy of God, that they may see the grace of the Lord, that they may see the empowerment that you're sending their way, all to the glory and honor of your name. If there be any person in our midst who has never given their life to Jesus, I want to give you this opportunity. The Bible says that he knocks at the door of your heart. If only you could open up your heart, he would come and minister to you. Is there anybody who has never given their lives to Jesus? And you're saying, Lord, today I want to believe in your heart and I want to confess with your mouth unto salvation. Is there anybody? Lift up your hand. I don't want to close this meeting before I give you that opportunity. Lift up your hand right now. Is there anyone? Is there anyone? Thank you, Heavenly Father. I declare that this week will be great. I command every single day, Lord, on behalf of these children of God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that divine wisdom and counsel and knowledge will be their portion this week in the name of Jesus. Line up help for each one of them, Lord. Father God, let nobody stumble upon a rock in the name of Jesus. We give you glory and we give you honor. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody who loves him, shout a big amen. 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 You may have your seats in the presence of the Lord. I'm going to welcome...